This is your one-stop shop for all things deals, discounts, and tips when it comes to buying pretty much anything you can think of. And let's be facing it. You know what? I'm not going to change it. Let's be facing it. Some stuff you didn't even know you needed, like a welding helmet. On this week's episode, we are talking social spending pressure. Do you find yourself buying rounds and ending up out of pocket? How about splitting the bill at the end of a group meal? How do you decide how to do that? Plus, fines for taking your kids out of school are rising. Welcome to False Economy.
Powered by Hot UK Deals, the UK's number one app for deals, discounts, and freebies.
For new listeners, I'm Vic Slayton, consumer champion, shopaholic, occasional comedian. Joining me once again, well, we'll start with you, Charlotte Redding. Consumer writer for Hot UK Deals. How are you?
Very well, very well. That's all I got. I do.
That's why we don't have you go first.
Well, you never introduced me first. You've broken protocol and you've put me on the spot.
I feel like
and also, I'm really concerned, that, just briefly for a moment, that you're going to keep those boop boop boops in that I just did into the microphone. And all the stupid noises I just made.
Well, you've just referenced them now, so we have to keep them in, because otherwise there'll be a really complicated edit cutting that and then cutting your reference to that. And just in case it's an easy cut, I'm going to keep referencing it all the way through the episode.
Can we just stop that bit again?
And Paul Watson, who never ever gives way to a little jingle because he knows the consequences.
Yeah, I'm not good at any of those little beeps that you famously did. But to be fair, I think what we were getting was the fact that you're in a creative process. Like, you wouldn't cut across Calvin Harris, you know, one of the great sort of songwriters of our time.
I was doing my boops and mid-flow. Yeah.
In fact, I did mean to say Calvin's at reception, so he does want to work with you on this if you can.
Calvin Harris is what you reached for in terms of somebody with a robust...
Oh, it was tongue-in-cheek. Do you remember when you had to have him all the time? He was just everywhere on every single song.
Every track.
Him or Mark Ronson, there was a rule you had to have one or the other, and they're interchangeable. I mean,
and David Guetta.
Yeah. I think it's Guetta. Yeah. He's really old, by the way. Well, not like really old, but like 60.
Yeah, he's like one of those 78-year-olds in a tracksuit. You try, like Mr. Burns when he's trying to be a young person. You remember that scene where Mr. Burns tries to pretend to be a Springfield Elementary child and like sits on the desk and like has to put his knee over? That always reminds me of David Guetta.
Hans Moleman going, cowabunga, dude.
That's Guetta.
Yeah.
Right. In discussion news then, fines for parents taking their kids out of school are getting out of control. Charlotte, you've got the information.
I do.
It's felt like an anchor in the news.
Yeah, it did,
to Charlotte with the research that I didn't do. Hi.
My little data corner.
Yes.
We've looked it up in the wonderful sources of the internet. And so currently the fines for kind of unauthorised absences, taking your child out of school during term time, starts at £60. And
Per parent, by the way.
And whoa, £60 per parent
per household, per parent.
But per day?
No, per absence.
Ah, so if you made that into a week, but still 120 quid if it's
one
two
fine
parents.
Stuff, I think. But it rises to £120 if it's not paid within 21 days. And they are rising.
So that's £240.
It's not like my child's a parking ticket, was it?
Yeah. So if you, within 3 weeks, do not have £240 to give your school.
And soon they are rising to £80 minimum and up to £160 if not paid within 21 days. A lot of people are falling foul of this. Last year, I suppose, between the school year 2022 to 2023, there were 400,000 of these fines issued to parents.
That's paying for a lot of school
nine
desks,
out of 10,
isn't it?
90% of these fines were for unauthorised holidays. So taking their child out of school during term time to go on a holiday so that they obviously fall foul of the peak holiday time.
Because you also save money on that. Now, my big question.
So much money.
Now, people will say, and actually a lot of wealthier people will just pay the fines because it's cheaper than the additional price on holiday.
But there must be a very good answer to this. But what is to stop you just phoning your child in sick? Because that is an authorised absence,
right? Coming back with a tan and that little braid in your hair that you only get.
The school isn't like, the relationship between teachers, they're not like, detectives, like they're not massively trying to get you.
Is it like work where you sort of need a doctor's note after?
No, it's not. But I think just on the whole, people are honest and they want to instill honesty into your child. So you're asking your child to lie to teachers.
What you're saying is the kid will blow it for you.
Oh, yeah.
They will. Absolutely. They'll shake it at your kid.
Well, you're asking a child to lie to authority figures that you need them to respect in every other scenario.
It's a pretty useful life skill. Yeah. But what I would say is I would be giving the kids sort of SAS style training in advance.
Do you want the holiday? Well, you know what you've got to do.
There is a chance they'll waterboard you, but we do not give this information up in my family. Yeah, that's what I'll say.
It's like
you go to a buffet or something with kids and you're like, if anybody asks, you're nine. No, you have to pay adult price of 10 and over. If anybody asks, you're nine.
Let's do some drills. How old are you?
11.
I am nine.
Yeah, I think really what it's about is having a good relationship. If you've got that relationship with your teacher, you can probably subtly scout out whether that's a thing.
Discretionary. That's the thing. Like, and some schools are more sticklers for it than others. But ultimately, it's a tax on people who can't afford it.
Yeah.
That's another tax. If you can't afford holidays and that is the only time you're able to go, the value of taking a child abroad to experience that, you know, there is some education in it, potentially.
Certainly at primary school. Like a primary school age kid is going to learn more in a week wherever you go.
In a new culture,
if you're just going down to Cornwall or something, they'll probably find more in a week that they learn about, like, whatever.
Seashells.
The sea, Cornwall, pasties. Like, they will learn more in a week than they would in that classroom, right?
Yeah.
I think. So I think there's no doubt it's a tax being put on us.
It's just one more way who are struggling.
And we would, but we would have to have that relationship with the school where we knew they were okay with it. Because I think when you do start to create a bad relationship with a school, that's a really bad place to be in. So we do actually know people at some schools who have sounded teachers out and been told, no,
don't tell us.
And once they're told no, they really can't do it because the school does have to take measures then. Yep. Whereas if they don't know, there's a sort of unspoken phone them in sick every day and we'll ask no questions. But that is usually for like 3 or 4 or 5 days. Like, it's not usually you're not gonna do a 2 week holiday on that. No. But
you might do a long weekend
Yeah.
But like this thing, but if you get caught, obviously you get the fine.
I think the fine would probably be really unlikely unless you'd specifically flouted it or tried to rub it in the face. I think if you're quite honest about it with a teacher and they say like no, then obviously then you do it, you are just going to get a fine. But I don't know, that's just the way we try to approach it.
Life's not fair though. I think it's another example where if you've got the privilege of having an extra £120, well, firstly, you can pay it straight away, which means you pay the lowest fee. And secondly, you add it onto the cost of your holiday, you've saved £1,000, it's still. Yeah. Whereas the people that are affording the holidays have to downgrade the holiday one more bit. And when you're already in the margins for cheap holidays, as we know from personal experience, you cannot afford the quality to get any lower.
But there's an additional privilege to this that I then considered looking at this data and the stats on it, because I didn't know a lot of these things existed because I went to, as we've discussed before, a private school, which has completely different term times. Absence fines. So, because I remember thinking about this, is that, you know, actually, I would break up for summer before someone else would. I think the best year we ever had was, because what people call summer holidays, 6 weeks, I suppose, for state education. I think the longest we ever had was 10 or 11. Wow. You know, breaking up for the summer holidays between first and second week of July.
Wow.
Right, whereas some people are waiting until, you know, 20 something? I think the earliest we ever broke up was like the 5th or 6th of July.
So is it that private schools don't find you, or is it just your holidays are so long that you don't need
You've got all of this extra margin between
when, because sometimes they have the alternate half term.
Yeah.
As has happened before.
But it hadn't occurred to me that private schools basically set their own rules, right? So the state is finding you. When you don't send your kid into a state school, the state is finding you.
I'm not aware of people getting fined for absences. Nah. Private schools set their own rules in every way.
I guess because you're paying them as well. It's a very different relationship.
You're paying them.
You're effectively the customer. And
potentially have access to the cheaper holidays. Like the rich get richer.
Wow.
But like, it's something that just occurred to me thinking about it, is that I wasn't aware these things existed. It's wild.
Speaking of tax on people who can't afford it, social spending. There have been a few opinion pieces around this over the last couple of weeks. We're all broke, but we go to the pub. There are 4 of you there. You know you're only staying for one drink. What are you having, Paul?
So is the question on this one, like, whether if people are doing rounds or not doing rounds, I guess is the question. Do you pay for your own drinks individually?
But also, if somebody suggests that they're doing rounds,
then there's an unwritten etiquette, right?
Well, this is the thing, is that while everybody's poor, if you are really struggling, but your best friends are in a different financial situation and they go, oh, lovely, I'll get this round, I'll get them for everyone. And then someone's like, oh, I'll get the next round. Could you then go, I can't afford to join the round system. I'm going to drink a bit slower. I'm going to savor this. I will get my own drinks all night. Would you ever feel comfortable?
I'd find that really hard to do, but I think it's something we need people to be able to do. I did find that quite a lot through my 20s. I earned a lot less than the people who still are my good friends.
Yeah.
And it was awkward because they would say, oh, well, we'll just buy your drinks. But that's not what you want. You don't want charity.
Oh, that's even worse, isn't it?
Right? But they meant it in a good place because basically they wanted to drink with their friend. But I was looking at the prices and just being like, I can't do that. The only way that it did help was that they were much better drinkers than me. So for every two of their drinks, I would drink one. Like they were in those worlds where you're expected to drink with work and I was not. So, I think it's a conversation that is incredibly awkward to have, but it probably seems like something people need to be able to do. That thing of also, if someone's buying a round, there is an etiquette about what you can order. And if you're going to order something that's like a £11 cocktail,
the average glass of wine is like, you can accidentally pay, I think I paid £9 for a medium glass of wine last week. And I was in a round with somebody and I was like, they were getting a pint. And I was like, I definitely have to get them a drink back now.
If I'm offering to buy somebody a drink, and this has always been kind of the ethos of myself, my friends, the people I've been to the pub with, if I'm offering to buy you a drink, get what you want. If what you want is a glass of wine, get a glass of wine. Don't think I'm going to get a single gin and tonic. If you want a double, have a double. I mean, I think there's a big going out with somebody who's doing that. Like sometimes that can be a bit, the friend who always orders a double and you're like,
And they typically, the Venn diagram of the people that then leave before they have to stand their round is a circle on a lot of those people. And then they're putting their coats on and everyone's glass is empty and we're like, it's you. And they're like, gotta go. Like, what?
Yeah. But I have always thought, if I'm buying you a drink, please don't ever kind of compromise on what it is you want, thinking that I would be uncomfortable with it. But now that, we're all poor.
Yeah.
Because we disagreed on this actually, because one of my mum's favourite stories to tell is for my like 8th or 9th birthday, we took a party of children to the Harvester and Rhiann Lewis, my mum remembers her name like it's tattooed on her forehead. Rhiann Lewis spurned the children's menu.
How old were you again?
Eight or nine.
Right.
Spurned the children's menu and asked for the main menu and got a mixed grill or something. But not only did Rhiann Lewis have an adult meal that was enough to feed three, everybody else then went, because we're children, we all went, oh yeah, actually, I'll take the round as well. So what was like a quite a nice self-contained $9.99 per head, three-course meal, including a scoop of ice cream, became eight kids having three courses.
And there's Rhiann Lewis with the like champagne in a little ice bucket there. I think it's a white we have with this. Yeah. I think, would you guys have some white if I have a white?
Yeah. Is anyone, we'd split a bottle. And I said, I thought that was, a cheek.
Yeah.
I think the etiquette is you should stick to the menu you're given. You disagreed.
It's a difficult one.
Because my parents could not afford that in any way, shape, or form. The expectation was £100 spend and I think it came in at like near 300.
That's pretty.
And we were broke. Yeah, and it was a keeping up appearances party as well, because everybody else in school had a party.
I feel like there are, you can say no to other people's children. That's the other thing. There is a side of it where you can go, no, sorry, girls, you're ordering off the children's menu.
Depends if she's got a parent there, then it's very much Rhiann's parents' job to say, no, that's not what's on offer. And if she doesn't, I think you are allowed to say for sure to someone else's kid, but it is harder to do that. Yeah. I totally get it. When you're telling other people's kids what to do, you always have a bit of you that's like, what the hell? Why have I got any authority here? But
if you're taking your child out for their birthday, you've paid for it. Nobody's paying subsidies to go to the birthday party. You are putting on a party or putting on an event. Like people would pay for the guests at their wedding. You wouldn't ask them to pay for it.
I have been to weddings where I've been asked to contribute. But you know what I mean? That is also not true.
In my mind, it is a function that you are hosting that the children are guests at.
I think with weddings, there's a trade-off where there's a sort of unspoken expectation that the gift is going to be
But you get a gift for their child.
Yeah.
So, like, in my mind, it functions
functions at a normal sort of kids party thing. That does function. That basically there is a lot of expense attached to hosting a party. So therefore, you bring a present for the child, and it's sort of a trade off because soon enough, pretty much all those kids
and you all work
thing.
Around the class, and everybody, your child goes to 20 parties.
Yeah, but a restaurant does bring a really different dynamic. And I've heard a lot of talk about the friction this causes, especially when people joint host. So a lot of times people joint host a party. One of them has one budget in mind, one has a completely different one. And it's an incredibly awkward conversation to have if you're the one with the lower budget, because you don't want to say, I actually can't afford to do that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's an implication of, you know, we all love our children. We not put the money in. And it's Jesus, but you are spending money.
You're taking the piss.
We did not envisage. And that, I've heard people having that situation where they joint host something and it's agony. And I think they've generally just suffered and paid the more money because it's just too exquisitely awkward to say to somebody, you know, these amounts of money you're writing. Like, we did not envisage that.
Yeah.
I saw
an opinion piece kind of in the Eye the other day, I think it was, that this person had been out for lunch with someone else and their kids. So her and her partner and their one child, this other friend, her partner and their three kids. And the bill came and she went, okay, let's split the bill. Perfect. They split it down the middle, went home, and then she went, hang on a minute. There were three people in my party and five in yours. And we've split this bill directly down the middle.
That happens so often, though, even without kids involved, where you're at a party, someone's ordered three or four drinks, you've had a Diet Coke because maybe you've got work the next day or something, the bill comes, it's like, oh, let's all just split it equally, let's all do the maths. And I'm like, no, let's please do the maths, because...
Or
people leave before the end and they haven't accounted for the service charge. So you get to the end and there's like £7 or £8 outstanding. And it's always the bloody muggins that... is doing the maths that has to pay the extra. And then
you're left with that.
That's never split. You're not like, oh, this person's got away without paying the service charge, so can you all pay an extra 20 pence?
It's not going to happen, right? And yet you're left with this awful thing of like, what, are we not going to tip? No, we're not.
And you won't say it to that person. I wouldn't then text a colleague or a friend and go, oh, by the way, you need to pay an extra service charge.
Especially because the amounts just sound trivial, but they're not. Yeah. That's the thing about it. It's an amount of money that isn't trivial, but it sounds an amount you wouldn't chase everyone up for. Because it's like so small divided by that many people. But
like it's like, oh, I'm going out, do you want me to get you anything in an office? And someone will be like, oh, can I have a vanilla latte from Costa? It's £4. Yeah. But you come back with them, and if they aren't ready,
if they don't
with the money,
volunteer it.
What do you do?
This is why people have got to help one another by volunteering this information. In that kind of bill splitting scenario, I, rather than watch the person who had the Diet Coke be uncomfortable, will say, you pay for yours separately.
And we'll split it.
I know you only had a Diet Coke. It is not fair. Like, take that burden off the person. Like, help your friends with
this. Let's all be the person that we need.
Yeah, be the person who, you know, takes that responsibility off you so you don't feel any shame over that.
Yeah. Because even if it's like the, you know, the reach, like if you're on a date and you're sort of hoping they'll pay and you go, oh, let me, and they go, no, and you're like, no, great. Like,
do the reach.
Let's all do the reach. Not just when we're trying to romantically beguile someone else. Let's be the person that you need in that scenario. Because I think from the articles that I was reading about this, it's costing everybody a lot of money to keep up with the person that they want to be at that table and to not cause a fuss. Like, oh, for £3, don't transfer. We've all got the ability to transfer tiny, negligible amounts of money now instantly. It's not a hardship to say, oh, I did buy a whole meal deal for you. It was £8. Can you? And it's not tight to ask. So I think, we need to talk about
loud
these
budgeting
things.
And
it
talk
is,
about
but not
money.
Even individual, like, I'm saving this. Like, we need to talk about this. People need to know. You need to be able to say in a hen party group that's just been formed, actually, no, I don't want to go to Paris for 3 days with people I don't know when I can't afford to do that with people I love.
I'm sorry, I'd hate that.
Yeah. I like that one. Yeah, that was a good one.
Oh, no, that sounds awful.
Oh, come on, Peyton Sip. No.
But I just, people need to also like back your friends. If you turn around to your friends who love you and you love, like, do you know, and you say, look, I really can't afford to do this. Your friends are not going to be like, wow, what a piece of shit you are. Yeah. You know, like...
Yeah, and you want those people at these events, so yeah. Make sure they can afford them, because otherwise people call in sick to them, or yeah. they won't be able to get childcare.
Create
or...
space for your friends to protect their own budget.
So yeah, that's the future.
It's a nice moral.
Yeah, we've just solved that. It's nice when we solve things, isn't it? So what else can we solve? We will solve who the winner of this week's quickfire round is.
It's never me. I'm on a losing streak.
I don't think you are. I think you won the one before last, I think.
No, like, you made it back in bonus points, I think.
Oh God, do you remember?
We didn't mention here in the last one, and I feel like they do such sterling work for us with the data. Shout out to here once again. Thank you for
keeping... Yeah, I think this kind of proves it.
Keep us honest.
We don't remember.
We literally have no idea.
Well, thank you. Very kind.
So yeah, shout out to here for doing that. We'll await an update. You can tweet Charlotte at Charrex.
Stop pushing this.
When you're not tweeting, you're about toilet rolls. Tweet about this.
What about tweeting some nice things?
You love cheap, high quality toilet roll.
I've said nice things as well, right?
Yes.
Yes. Good.
Yes. Yes. You have.
I am going to add shame advocate to my body.
Right. Anyway, it's a quick fire round. Paul, do you want to improvise a tune for this?
Oh.
Just imagine you're Calvin Harris.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely had something in mind that was kind of like, it was kind of going to be more of a...
Give us a little, yeah. Very drum heavy then.
I feel like that's a bit
No, because I haven't actually got quite to the violin bits, but yeah, I know what you mean. It's this
lovely,
initial bit.
Lovely.
There's also kind of a soulful mid-late, but I won't do that bit.
I feel so much better about what happened earlier on now.
All right,
Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, that's all right.
I think if we combined all of the little samples that we've put together, we could have something really quite beautiful here.
Yeah, or something disjointed. But, you know, let's see.
A harrowing and disgusting cacophony.
Anyway, takeaway coffee. It's my favourite. How much does the average Brit, not me, you need to step away from my coffee consumption for this, spend on takeaway coffee per year?
Wow.
Ooh. The survey was taken by Beans Coffee Club, which is a coffee bean subscription company. So clearly the number is going to be relatively high. Obviously, these are taken with 2023 figures, as 2024 is still happening. So how much do we spend per year on takeaway coffee? That's everything from your 10 pence hospital cup of pure sadness right the way through to your bougie ones.
These ones are tough, aren't they? Because you never, like, some people out there bringing this average right down.
I know. And I'm like,
letting everyone down.
They're like, a couple of years as a treat. I'll have the Christmas Starbucks. I do not relate to you people.
£400 a year.
What maths is that? Because normally you're a calculator. Like,
what?
You're somebody who wants to do the maths. This is just plucked from the thin air.
No, I think it's quite...
You've missed the bit where I've been scribbling on this notebook. I'm sort of looking a bit... Cause you normally do the maths. And I've been like, so I'm just going to work it out roughly.
How many coffees per week are you...
I'm calling it... I've called it three pound coffees per week.
Okay.
Which comes
where are
slightly
you going
higher
for
than that.
Coffee? What's your secret?
Well, some people might have like one a week. But there are people who have one every day. Yeah, but the average person?
I think it's quite sensible because, as you said, like, a lot of people are having zero coffee. Like, so I know some people just never get a coffee out. And then there's some people who get. So I'm going 550.
Right. Okay.
But I'm.
You're probably right. Like, I've gone in quite low, but I just kind of figured it was like. Somebody getting like a 99p McDonald's coffee once a week or something, but
£530 a year. You're almost bang on.
Nice.
Unlike sensible me, who's spending, just £330 a year.
Which, when you put it like that, though.
Well, 360 isn't it, 12 months.
To have five coffees a day.
And a couple of times, if you threaten to cancel, they will give you a half price membership, which brings it down. Yes, again. Yes, I am still. A Costa. No, and it's not even Costa, is it? I'm the Pret one. You are Costa.
Yeah, but
10 drinks, you get one free.
It's only because of the prevalence of Costa. If there were more Prets near us, I'd go with the Pret subscription.
I make fun of it all the time, but I am genuinely converted. I am committed to the Pret life.
The Pret life.
I didn't choose the Pret life. Pret life chose me.
Like Thug Life, I guess,
Okay, next item is instant cocktail cubes. Take the fuss stroke enjoyment out of making cocktails at home with these instant cocktail cubes. No need for an overpriced mixology class. Just add one of these sugar cube-sized flavoured cubes to your preferred booze. Ah, pisto. Excellent. I just, it feels like cocktails in a can to me, in that it never matches up to a proper mixed one. Like, pre-mixed cocktails are a scam and they're getting more and more expensive and they taste more and more alcoholic, but the flavour profiles,
they're getting more outlandish with their flavour profiles as well. You can't find classic cocktails anymore. Like, no. All the classics are gone.
Well, these ones, Cosmopolitan Old Fashioned Peach Bellini and Chocolate Martini, they're made by Meliora Forever. You just know that's two middle-class 21-year-olds, don't you?
Imagine
how much time we'd save, Hortense, if we...
Oh, it's influencers. It's no doubt these are like made in Chelsea people who have made something.
Yeah. Daddy, I want to start a business. I'm going to look up Meliora Forever.
Let me give you the garage to use and £1 million.
Yeah. Just ring round for angel investors. They're available from Etsy. That has not changed my mind on who I think that,
we know exactly who's made these.
And they come in packs of 8, 16 or 32. So I want to know, to get the maximum amount, how much for a pack of 32? I mean, presumably they don't include the booze.
They can't.
Wait,
so it's just the flavouring, they're just mixed squash.
They're just like... It's
32 flavour cubes.
Sugar cube squash. Mm.
I mean, it sounds
crap. I don't feel good about it.
This looks like absolute... But this is bullshit. I'm sorry, Meliora Forever.
I'd pay to not drink. There's no way that can taste nice.
I'm going to say it's... I'm going to say £30.
Okay.
Which is a bit of a rip-off, but I feel like...
That's the thing, like, oh, God. It's not booze. It's just a bit of flavour. But it's on Etsy. The Etsy premium. That nothing is a pound per unit on Etsy. Oh, I hate playing higher or lower.
Harriet and Ophelia think things are worth what you're willing to pay for them. That's what I reckon.
I'm going to say 32, going higher.
It's even higher than that, £39.51.
More than a pound.
So more than a pound each.
That's
considering you can get pre-mixed cocktails of a fine quality for two-ish pounds. I think that's an absolute scandal.
That is.
Yeah, people get mugged off.
Do not buy those. I'll be so angry with you if you do. But what we might do is we might buy those.
Yeah, I think we should to taste them, because I don't have any faith that they are nice.
But you know what? I probably won't buy them, because even as a novelty purchase, £39.51 is just too expensive to know. And now on to the next thing. Easter is coming up. So let's talk chocolate. Now, we've featured some absolute bollocks on this show before. The car washing lessons and the witch starter pack immediately spring to mind, but it's rich and varied nonsense. But this takes the absolute bollocks biscuit, right?
That is not a biscuit I'm tempted by at all.
It is a cacao ceremony and sound healing experience. I'm going to read the blurb to you.
Oh, God.
And I'd like you to pay particular attention to the final two sentences. Right, here we go.
Healing. Okay.
Cacao ceremony and sound healing experience. Melts, appropriately named, because you'd have to be a melt. Cacao ceremony is a chocolate ritual, a sacred shamanic ceremony that uses ceremonial cacao and sacred plants to help you achieve transcendence. Melts. Well, they use breath work, meditation and sound immersion for your anointment and ascension. The sacred cacao will facilitate the healing process and act as a source of divine inspiration. Live music and ceremonial cacao will transport you to another realm of chocolate transcendence. Is this the Willy Wonka experience again?
I'm taking it they're going to kill you. It sounds to me like they're just going to kill you.
It does sound like the kind of thing that Hotel Chocolat have put on in the rainforest.
There's more! Melt's cacao ceremony will take place inside our Mongolian yurt in Notting Hill. Our yurt is a sacred space built from a single ash tree and decorated with Amazonian blankets and rugs.
I don't care.
It's a 2.5-hour ceremony.
Okay, 2.5 hours.
150 minutes of higher learning. It's every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. So they are... They're real busy, these people.
My biggest question right now, though, is, I mean, based on everything you've said with, like, the breathing and the spirituality, Where does the cacao come in? Like,
they just give you a chocolate bar on the way out.
Single jelly bean.
Am I going to go eat chocolate in a year?
As you come out, just give you a boost. Like, yeah, oh, there you
like,
are.
Am I spreading it on myself? Am I like sniffing the beans?
This has got such a feel of they've seen people come. Like this is it's.
If it's called it melts.
It's called melt.
They might as well call it scam.
But I feel like they're like, I'm not even going to get to eat any chocolate. Like, I just...
How much chocolate is part of the experience?
You come out and you are chocolate.
How much cacao?
No. I'm saying, right, I'm going to go in at £75 because I think they are absolutely rinsing these people.
I mean, it is in Notting Hill.
It costs about £75.
Did you not hear
the quality of the yurt? Built from a single ash tree. Presumably, there's not a lot of space in there as well. This is a fairly exclusive experience.
I think it's going to be more expensive because it's 2.5 hours long. God. So I'm going to say 80.
It is a bargain at £65 per person.
For 2.5 hours of complete bullshit.
Again, like, I sort of want to know. I sort of want to go, but I don't want to spend that money on it. So that's two products in a row where I'm like, please, don't buy that.
don't
buy that. This is why people think millennials can't own a home. Like,
with £65, pitch a tent in the garden and eat loads of chocolate. And
just put it on the bonfire and then you don't have to travel to Notting Hill.
More
put it on
of a
bonfire,
spiritual experience.
Get an Easter egg.
Like, what are you trying to achieve? Is there a specific kind of cacao enlightenment?
Transcendence.
What religion?
That's your weekend transcendence.
Which spiritual?
Healing, divine inspiration, transcendence. Is there a, like, LSD or magic mushrooms in these or something?
They haven't even mentioned crystals. I don't...
Oh, but they're there. They're implied.
I think that sounds like total shit.
Yep, can't wait to not go to that. So, were there any winners in that, really?
I mean, technically I lost
the game, but to me the real losers are anyone who's gone to the cacao yurt.
Just off to the cacao yurt. Where are you off to? Oh, cacao yurt again. Yeah.
But didn't you go last week? Yeah, but I didn't reach the level of transcendence I did not transcend.
They said I could come back, so I didn't transcend, actually.
Yeah, that's on me. That's on me. I was not in the right frame of mind.
I didn't really get into the beans.
No. Wow, what a day we have had. That is it. I think you can agree we've given you a lot of thinking there. As always, thank you for listening. Thank you too.
Thank you.
For being
thank
here.
You for having us.
Again.
Thank you. I think you have given us a lot of thinking.
Haven't I given you a lot of thinking? Do you know what? I was going to correct myself and I was like, no, I stand by it. We've done a lot of thinking today.
You've given me a lot of things to think about.
I mean, some might say I've given you a lot of thinking. if you want to use the technical term, but you know, if you have it your way. So thank you, Charlotte, for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Will she be here again next week? We'll see.
Probably not.
Thank you, Paul, for being here. Will you be here again? Absolutely, certainly, yes. If you enjoyed the podcast, please rate and review it. If you've rated it already, do it again. Tell your friends, tell your enemies, tell people that owe you money that haven't given it back to you, or people that always don't stand their own so they can learn the error of their ways. And if you didn't enjoy it, you now have 30 days to return it for a full refund. Terms and conditions apply. We will speak to you again next week.